Those grapes must have been as big as apples. And the fig and pomegranate must have been as big as basketballs. Yes, it was truly the land of milk and honey. But along with the fruit, most of the spies told of a fearsome people living there. The Amalekites, the Jebusites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites were there. And they seemed very strong to most of the spies. They reported, "There we saw giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. The men were like Goliath, huge and fearsome, and their cities were fortified." Caleb and Joshua were the only two of those men who trusted God, who were willing to put their lives and the lives of all the men, all the people, into God's hands. Caleb said, "Let's go up at once and take possession, for we're able to overcome it. Don't worry." The others argued against them, fearing that the land and the people there would devour them. Help me out here. Why does God continue to back these people with their whining and their pitiful attitudes? They go through life ready to bail out the first sight of conflict. If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us here to die by the sword, and that our wives and our children should become their victims? They wanted to select a new leader and return to their life as slaves in Egypt. Moses and Aaron were so upset that they fell on their faces before the people. Only Joshua and Caleb tore their clothes to make a point and beseeched the people, "The land we are sent to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the fear of the Lord is with us. Don't fear them." And the people proved true to their nature and said to stone Caleb and Joshua with stones. A rather dramatic moment. But now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. Numbers 14:11 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will they not believe me? With all the signs I have performed in front of them, I'm going to strike them with pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a stronger nation and mightier than they.'" Of course, God could have done it. But Moses once again interceded for the Jewish nation. However, God did make his point. None of the former slaves, except Caleb and Joshua, who chose to trust Adonai, made it to the promised land. No one of this group who had tasted the life of slavery made it to where they were going. No, they got their wish. They got to die in the wilderness. Moses led them to wander in the desert for 40 years, 1 year for each day the spies spent in the land of Israel. One by one, two by two, and many by many, they all died during that 40 years, all except Joshua and Caleb. Every year until the 40th year, on the eve of the 9th of Av, Moses would command the Israelites, "Go out and dig." The men would go out of the camp and dig themselves graves and sleep in them overnight. The next morning, a messenger would proclaim, "Let the living separate themselves from the dead." Many people had died that night, but the survivors would return to the camp for another year. All the spies who gave a bad report of the land, all except Joshua and Caleb, died almost immediately from the plague. Our Lord knows the true meaning of justice. Moses told of the sentence from God to the Jewish people, and as you can imagine, they mourned, and they mourned greatly. Their children, the ones who the people said would become victims of those who inhabited the Holy Land at that time, would go on to be the beginning of the great nation of Israel instead. None of the slaves of Egypt would enter Israel to become the Jewish nation except for Joshua and Caleb. All of these events happened during the first 13 months after they left Egypt. According to Midrash, since the sin of spies occurred on the 9th of Av, the Lord decreed it to be a day of judgment and mourning for all of Israel. All of the following events are said to have taken place on the 9th of Av, or they call it Tisha B'Av. The Lord decreed that the original generation, which was rescued from Egypt, would die in the wilderness and be deprived from entering the promised land. Number two, the destruction of the first temple by the Babylonians in 586 BC. Number three, the destruction of the second temple by the Romans in 70 AD. Number four, in 135 AD, the Jews rebelled against Roman rule under the false Messiah, Simon Bar Kochba, and were destroyed by Hadrian in the battle at Betar. Number five, Turnus Rufus, a Roman officer, plowed the area of the temple under. Rambam added that all the homes in Jerusalem were also plowed under at that time. Number six, the Jews were expelled from England in 1290. Number seven, the Jews were expelled from Spain in 1496. No wonder the 9th of Av was decreed as a day of mourning. It was easy for the Lord to take the people out of Egypt, but it was very hard to take for him to take Egypt out of the people. In the 40th year, no one died. They thought they might have counted wrong, so they kept sleeping in the graves for several additional nights. They realized no more people would die, so on the 15th of Av, they declared Tu B'Av a day of celebration. Mourn, rejoice, sad, then happy. Make it easy on yourselves, people, and listen to God as he commands us. This is Numbers 15, 40, and 41. And that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy to your God. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Our God is merciful and gracious. He gave us many ways to remember what we're supposed to be doing. In this parasha, it tells us about the tassels that hang from some of our garments. Every time we look at them, we should think about Adonai's words of instruction and do his will. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the lessons to learn in your precious Torah. Please open our minds and our hearts and give us a spirit of obedience to you. We know your way is perfect and good, and if we follow your law, our lives will be worthwhile and meaningful. Amen. Shabbat shalom.